God and our Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks and praise for thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that thou lovest us in and through him, and thou hast sent him, O God, to be that sacrifice for all our sins. And we thank thee, Lord, that through him we have become thine eternal children. We thank thee, Lord, for all these truths that we find in thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for thy day, that day that thy Spirit worked faith in us, causing us to repent and believe. O Lord, we thank thee for these precious truths. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for our Saviour. As we gather around thy word this evening, it is our prayer, Lord, that thou wilt enable us to be fed and have our hearts warmed, even our consciences pricked, whatever thou art pleased to do with thy word, for our good and for thy glory. Father, forgive our sins. Pour out thy Spirit. Give understanding and give help. In Jesus' name, we pray thee, our God. Amen. Amen. If you open up your hymn books, please, to hymn 247. Hymn 247, that is Amazing Grace. Grace is very much the theme of the verses we'll be looking at with the Lord's help this evening. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we'll stand to sing these verses, and we'll attempt to do the sixth verse without any accompaniment. And so if you know any harmonies, any high or low voices, you know, throw them in on that last verse. See if we can make something, a joyful noise. The emphasis on joyful, but if it is a noise, so be it. Standing to sing this hymn, please. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Would you please open your copies of God's Word to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, please? Ephesians in chapter 3. I'm going to read together the first 12 verses. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention this evening with the continuing our examination of chapter 3. We're up to verse 8. And I'd just like to spend a short time looking at verses 8 and 9 together. Verses 8 and 9, and they say this: Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And so we'll see here, and as we've already read the prior seven verses, through the first seven verses of chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul is still considering his ministry to the Gentiles that God gave him. And that's what we read, that's what we have read in verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, speaking to the Gentiles in the church at Ephesus. Now we'll go straight into the text. The title of this study this evening is entitled, it's called Rich Grace Revealed and Given. Rich Grace Revealed and Given. And so we'll just look at these two verses in two points. Firstly, the unsearchable riches of grace. The unsearchable riches of grace. God, in and through Jesus Christ, he grants gifts, divine and spiritual gifts, to whom he will. And these gifts, these spiritual gifts, these wonderful gifts, these gifts that the world knows nothing of, these heavenly gifts, are called in the Bible graces, a grace. We've examined very briefly when we were looking at Ephesians 1 and we came across the word grace in Ephesians 1 and chapter 2. We looked at a good solid definition of grace. But grace is so deep and so rich that every time we come across it, it seems to come into a different context almost, with a different aspect. It's like a diamond. It's multifaceted and it glistens and it shines in different ways and at different angles, the grace of God. But these are called graces. Grace, of course, is a gift without cost and without condition. And it's always that way. It's not when we're suddenly believers that everything costs for grace. Grace is still a gift, although to follow Christ might cost us everything. Now, these gifts, where do they come from? Well, they're not held in a box somewhere in the Vatican. They are something that stems. It's something that stems from every person of the Godhead. Personal gifts to bless, to strengthen, to enable, to prepare, to comfort in all the ways that we need, to obtain more grace, grace is given, to sanctify, and for the service of God, which is very much the context of what we're considering with Paul, the apostle, this evening. Paul was a recipient of many graces, and he has been granted rich grace, and he describes some of that gifting here in these two verses. He says, as we begin verse 8, he says, unto me, and he reveals the grace in the next few words, who am less than the least of all saints, the grace of humility. The grace of humility. Paul puts himself at the bottom of the pile. And that Greek word that's translated here as less than the least, it's one word in the Greek, and it means the most insignificant, having the lowest status. And we'll know that word because Christ, in his teaching in Luke 14, talks about when we're invited to go somewhere for a meal, don't go and sit at the highest place. But when thou art bidden, he says, go and sit down in the lowest room, the lowest place, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. So that word that's used for the lowest room, the lowest place to sit in, the least important place in a banquet hall, shall we say, not on the top table, but just somewhere in the corner, the lowest place. And he says, I'm the lowest. I am the lowest. And we know that context when we consider his past. And it's Galatians 5 and 23 is one of those. Well, there are two fairly long lists when we consider the fruit of the Spirit. And in that one list, it talks of the word or the fruit called meekness. And this is what we have here. Humility is a meekness. It's an aspect of meekness, a fruit of the Spirit. And such fruit is what? It's a gracious gift from the Spirit of God. As I said, graces are gifts given from a person of the Trinitarian Godhead to us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's the gracious working of the Holy Spirit in the believer's soul, the fruit of the Spirit. And here we're considering then meekness. The greatest of the apostles was the meekest of them all. But is not that the teaching of the New Testament? Those who would be the greatest must be the least. And such meekness, I have to say, it would seem to be very rare. We can maybe show it on the outside and be very self-controlled at the right time. But to have that meekness on the inside, is that really present within us? But it is a grace and it is a work of the Spirit. Secondly, the grace to reach. We see that Paul is also given the grace to reach. And where do we see that? Well, we see that he says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This ex-Pharisee had received undeserved kind gifts from God, grace. To do what? to be able to preach the good news of Christ to the Gentiles. The Gentiles that this ex-Pharisee once despised, looked down upon. They were dogs, they were profane, they were unclean. They were not of the seed of Abraham. And so these once worthless heathen dogs in his eyes have now become human souls to be reached with the gospel, amongst whom the precious elect are to be saved. And in verse 9, Paul writes to make all men see. And we're going to look at that verse, or that portion of the verse, twice. But that doesn't mean he's going out to make every human being that's ever lived see, because that's impossible. He only lives for a certain period of time. But it means to make all sorts of men see. All sorts. And so we do think then Jew and Gentile. We can think of brown, black, white, yellow, whatever, rich and poor. Although I would suggest that in this particular context, because he is talking about that he is the apostle to the Gentiles, all sorts of Gentiles from all different countries and all different languages. That's what he's been sent out to do. When we look at his missionary journeys, we see that is the case. You know, he goes from Antioch and he goes to the middle bottom coast of Asia Minor, goes to a place called the Kingdom of Lydia, and he goes to a number of places around there, different languages, different peoples, and then two other missionary journeys. And so he is to preach the gospel among the Gentiles. So what is he doing? He's carrying out the Great Commission, his portion of it. But not only is he reaching them and having received the grace to reach them, but he's received grace to reveal. He's received the grace to reveal, and those of us who, and we of course, well, all of us, would be reading the epistles of Paul and what Paul is able to reveal. He's not only to preach the need of a Redeemer, but Paul has been enabled by God's grace to preach about the Redeemer, and to reveal much about the Redeemer. Deep things. The unsearchable riches of Christ is his phrase here. Unsearchable, that word meaning impossible to understand, unfathomable, impossible to comprehend, at least naturally speaking. Things that are about Christ that are past finding out, as Paul would write to the Romans. And so these truths about God, which we can see in Christ, are things that have been hidden from man's natural faculties. And that very idea, it brings us back to what we were reading in verse 4, where it talks about, and verse 3, the mystery of Christ. So he's still talking about the mysteries of Christ. And because these things are hidden and have been hidden from mankind from the very the beginning of the world, from the fall, shall we say, at least, that we need a divine revelation. We need God to come and give us that information. You know, Paul, who once, many before his conversion, boasted in his Pharisaical studies, has now received grace to truly and deeply open up God's word and to receive new light from Christ, and also by new revelation. Paul himself received new revelation from Jesus Christ himself. We've looked at that already. But this is the divine revelation. This is the special revelation that we are talking about, and of which Paul was an eminent author in the New Testament. So he's had the grace of humility, the grace to reach, the grace to reveal, and the grace to enlighten. The grace to enlighten, because he says here, then in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Again, we're coming back to that portion of the text, to make all men see. You see, the office of the gospel preacher is to disperse the shadows of ignorance and pagan darkness and false gospels, false hopes, by shining what? Well, shining the light of the gospel. And that is the external enlightenment